This is the Podcasteria Pop Culture Effect, Episode 3.
You're reading a magazine. You come across a full-page nude photo of a girl.
Is this testing whether I'm a replicant or a lesbian, Mr. Deckard?
Just answer the questions, please.
This is the Podcasteria Pop Culture Effect. This week is me, Brian, and I'm with Sam. We're going to be talking this week about a few topics, but some of the recent news that has come up about a favorite sci-fi film, I guess favorite sci-fi film of a lot of people, I don't know about us, but is The Blade Runner from 1982 with Harrison Ford. Recent news of a sequel that apparently Ridley Scott and Harrison Ford are excited to make, and how Harrison Ford almost killing himself in a plane crash would affect maybe that moving forward.
I think we should just come down on the side that that was probably an accident.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think he was trying to kill himself for the role, but
he's like, Blade Runner, man, I can't believe I signed up for that one again. Let's
crash into a golf course.
Oh, that's
so poor guy. But I guess he's, at least as of the date of this recording, okay. So, yes. I mean, I wouldn't mind saying, I don't have memories going all the way back to when this movie came out, and I my only memories of it are the director's cut. I never saw the, really sat down and watched the whole original film. What are your memories of Blade Runner?
So my memories are indistinct at best. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the sort of thing that my father had me watch, you know, along with Bond movies and Star Trek, you know. Mm-hmm. But I definitely remember scenes of the movie. I don't think I saw it in theaters. 82 would have been pretty early. But I almost certainly saw it on TV or probably VHS.
Right.
You know, back in the days of Errol's Video and stuff like that.
Sure.
So I'm sure I watched it on VHS. And I was probably a lot more blown away by it at that age than I was when I saw it a few years ago with the re-release, for sure.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. I would say the first time I really, and I know I'd seen it before, but I don't have memories of it. I kind of have these, like you said, saw a bunch of scenes and probably pieced it together in my mind, but I had no idea what I was watching. So I watched it, gosh, maybe 10 years after it had been out, so early 90s. And really sat down and paid attention to it. I guess that was when the director's cut was out, which I guess basically what Ridley Scott did was go in and remove all the narration, which completely changes the movie to the point where I found it quite boring. And that's what I remember watching. And I owned it on VHS. I owned that director's cut. And it's not a terrible movie, but I think the narration would have really, you know, tied the room together, so to speak. But this memories that I have of it, it's not a movie I've actively gone back to watch, because there's just such long scenes of this sci-fi world with nothing going on where the narration used to be, and that's kind of my memories are frustrations with it, because I feel like there's something missing, and there is the important narration. But I guess his whole plan to remove the narration was to kind of spin the ending a little bit more. That is Harrison Ford's character there is a replicant as well, by making it vague. I don't know.
Well, I believe the narration was ordered by the studio, because test audiences or the studio thought that audiences wouldn't know what's going on.
It's confusing.
And I don't remember missing the narration, because I don't think it was that hard to understand what was going on, but
I think you can figure it out. But you have a lot of these huge scenes where it's very it took away the aspect of it being like a film noir type film,
right,
you know,
right.
that detective adventure when you have the narration.
You don't get the voice inside the head,
that introspective,
as he's walking around trying to figure out the case.
And that's what made that movie fun. Like I said, I have remembrances of that, but I don't remember, you know, all of it in combined. But from what I had seen, I don't hate the movie. I think it's great. I love the world. I love the storyline behind it. The characters are fun. Rutger Hauer's great. Creepy big guy, Brian James. He's good. There was a. It's a lot of fun characters. Daryl Hannah's creepy, but cool.
The toy maker.
Right. Yeah. Oh god. It just gets so kooky and weird. It's one of those films that though without the narration to me, and I might be offending a lot of people and breaking rules by saying this, but kind of makes me feel like I did watching Dune. I mean, there are people that love Dune, but Dune's a chunk of mess. I mean, there's a whole lot that I can't follow in that movie because of the pacing, and I felt like without the narration that it kind of created that same pacing, a lot going on without telling me what's going on. You know, no backstory, no exposition to pull it together. And like I said, I'm not comparing those two movies together because they're different animals, but the feeling I got from them because of how...
Well, they both have kind of an epic feel to it. And I think Blade Runner, my memories of it, made it seem very epic. But then going back and watching it, it so desperately wants to be that film noir sci-fi movie.
Right.
And then kind of falls flat on the detective side of it. Because that's what you...
It's supposed to be really your futuristic private eye.
Is this private eye... uncovering some conspiracy or crime or tracking. He's actually tracking the replicants sure. down, but it sort of treats it like a PI mystery.
And, right.
You're following it, and it... I felt that, like, it completely lost steam, like, two-thirds of the way through and dropped off.
That's it, yeah.
It's like that you're following the investigation, and then it just kind of resolves when he over and over again blunders into something. Like right. He bumps into the guy on the street and there's a big gunfight and they kill him. And it's like he didn't actually seek this guy out and kill him. He just kind of accidentally bumped into them and managed to survive. And it
right.
It wasn't like he had this amazing skill. It just, he kind of fumbled through the whole adventure, I think.
It's one of those things with maybe a better... script and better director. I'm not saying Ridley Scott's a bad director or the screenwriters were bad, but a different kind of director. I mean, I almost want to say, you know, if Lucas had his hands on it, because that's the type of stuff he liked to, you know, was inspired by, were these little serial type things.
Right.
He might have been able to spin it his way, but Ridley Scott's known for big epic things. But, you know, having just come off of Alien and, doing what he did there, he was, you know, trying to create that isolated person thriller. It didn't work as well as Alien did.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that another day, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, we talked about the movie. So what do we think about a sequel to this movie, given what we were just talking about?
Well, let's just assume he's fine and, you know, repairs all the injuries and can go ahead and make this sequel. I mean, he is, what, 75? So...
He's aged.
Yeah, yes. He's 73.
Fine
he's
wine, aged.
Not going to... Obviously, it kills that director's cut storyline where we're wondering, is he a replicant or not? Well, I guess he's not, because he's going to be significantly older. Apparently, he really loves the script, which is great, and Ridley Scott's really excited about the script. I have no idea what it's going to be like, and I don't even believe I think they've just gone through script reading and things like that right now. But they're just... I don't know. I don't know what to expect. You know, because what you said, it kind of let down. So where's the story go from here? Is he still on the run right. 30 years later, you know,
yeah.
with what's her name, who should be dead by now?
But my thought is, I never wondered what happened when Blade Runner ended.
Right.
Like, I never felt, man, if only we could tie this story up with a whole nother adventure. You know, it never occurred to me that we needed or wanted more of this.
And I guess, yeah, that's what my disjointed thoughts were trying to say there is I'm not sure that I need more of this. So will it be cool? Yeah. Will it be a huge marketing thing? Yeah. Will it cost $300 million to make and make $1 billion in the box office? Probably. Because, you know, people will go see it. There's a nostalgia for it, just like there's a nostalgia.
Well, there's a name. Like, you know, everyone, right. I think everyone recognizes Blade Runner, and I don't know what it's going to be called.
Right.
Blade Runner 2, the re-engineering or something. the replicant. I don't know. So,
Or is he going to even be the lead character? I mean, is Deckard going to be back as the main character all the way through, or is this going to be a handoff movie where you kind of get this surprise where he's billed as this big guy and they have this big secret in there, and then he gets killed in like the first scene. And it's handed off to some young kid to make a series of...
Some new kid that's going to kick off the new franchise.
Yeah, they bring Shia LaBeouf back out because why not? And have him... No, please, Scott.
Just a quick tangent. I was just watching Surf's Up, like on Disney Channel, right?
Okay.
And it's Shia LaBeouf and... can't remember his name. And... It's like that Shia LaBeouf character every time. It's that I am such the rebel and I am so he is the most impatient character actor ever.
Oh, he has a style, and he plays all his characters are played the same way. He's so painful to watch. I can't stand him, but that's what will happen.
He has to take over. Okay.
That's what will happen.
Starting rumors.
No. I know, but that's what will happen. The worst case scenario is they get somebody like him, and you know, Ridley Scott directs the first one, and then hands it off to Michael Bay, and you know, it's just explosions for the next 10 years. But I doubt that. Ridley Scott is dedicated to this universe he's created, and I know you and I were talking about just before we started recording was
in the sense that he's created like a dozen different cuts of this movie.
Right.
That's how dedicated he is.
He has changed this movie so many times and made changes because he felt forced by the studio initially and then made his cut and had the definitive cut, which I think we saw an article that it's going to be put the definitive cut will be re-released in theaters in a few weeks now. So this will be spring 2015, and it's, I don't know, maybe I'll probably go see it. I haven't seen it in so long, so that might be a good opportunity. I don't think it's a movie I'll buy, so I can just go see it once and be done with it. Like I said, it sounds like I hate it. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to feel about it. And having seen it in probably one or two times each decade, maybe it's time for me to see it one more time and get another opinion, and we could revisit that.
Well, it's interesting how viewing it again can open your eyes to things you hadn't seen before, things you forgot, and
sure.
it'll come together in a different way, I think, mm-hmm. from past viewings. So there may be value in seeing it again. I saw it when it was released again a few years ago with the final cut or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was eye-opening because I didn't realize, in my opinion, like how much of a mess that movie is.
Oh, I know.
Because it just didn't come together, and it falls apart toward the end. And it's this whole idea that there's the guy hunting replicas. Because you want him to be a PI, and he's like doing this investigative work, but he's hunting. Why do they have a person who specifically hunts replicants? And there were just all sorts of these weird questions that were coming up. And
I feel that this movie, taking the good. The styling of this movie and taking the pacing of iRobot, which is essentially in a lot of ways a similar movie for storyline, and putting them together, you might get a better movie. And iRobot was not a good movie, but there was a nice pacing to it.
But it was a watchable movie.
Exactly.
Like it didn't fall apart to me. Even if it wasn't great, held together.
It had its story. It had its so-called surprise. You know, it was trying to reach that goal, which Blade Runner was trying to do, but just kind of, like you said, hit a certain point in the movie and just kind of stumbled its way to the end.
Right.
It had its out because
every time he encounters a replicant, he's just like stumbling through, getting his ass kicked over and over again. And he falls through walls and gets tossed around, and he somehow manages to win in the end. And that,
that's whole fight scene at the end just seems to go on for hours. Yeah. It's such a long fight scene, and you don't feel like it's going to end, and then it just decides to end because the robot's the replicant's time has come. So there was really no, in that ending, he didn't win. He just didn't die. All he had to do was survive long enough for the replicant to fail. Yeah. And then that's how he would win. But there was no win. There was no triumphant victory walking out. There was just him, with a little unicorn on the ground and walking out of his apartment. And that was it. And, Edward James Olmos, who was just a creepy character all along, making these little things. I mean, there were all these creepy characters, and there was nothing. I really felt like a little bit of narration or somebody giving exposition.
If only they had added narration.
To explain what some of these characters are. Otherwise, it's trying to be some artsy film that it fails at being. Oh, gosh.
Well, it does approach this question of what makes a person, right? Mm-hmm. What's the human soul? Do artificial creations have a soul? So it was posing these questions, and I don't want to say it failed in that respect, but when it came to everything else, except for the vision. I mean, it's a beautiful movie, and it has such amazing art direction. And I think I think everyone can appreciate it for that.
The look of the movie is great, and Ridley Scott's great at that. He's great at making a good-looking film that feels real. Like that movie and Alien, I mean, they feel like a real world, like a lived-in universe. They don't feel like these kind of perfectly clean, straight edge, futuristic universe. This looks, rough, lived in. It's like, the existing world that we're living in today, which is built on top of it with this futuristic technology. And those two worlds are constantly colliding because you just can't get rid of the old stuff. The old stuff still bleeds through. No, the look of the movie is great. What do we have here? Was this a Philip K. Dick short story? Okay, so
We Dream of Electric Sheep.
Right. Do
Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
So he writes all these, or has written all these stories in their own little universe that are like this. They're not supposed to have happy endings. They're usually kind of depressing. We do this, Minority Report, Total Recall. Those are all his. There's been quite a few that have gone to film. So yeah. I guess seeing a sequel, I'd almost rather a reboot than a sequel because I kind of with you. I'm not sure I care about continuing that story, but I do like the idea of the universe and if he wants to reboot it into it. But I wonder if he's going to take the same approach that he's taking with Alien and going with Prometheus and kind of doing prequels with that to continue to utilize that universe. And I know I heard somewhere, and I said this to you before, that he has gone on record as saying that his Blade Runner universe and his Alien universe are the same universe. So I don't expect him to tie them together ever, but he's really strong on his universe. So where he has his timeline and where he wants to plop these new movies into.
I don't feel like he gets to make that choice. When you're borrowing someone else's story,
sure.
You can't just decide that completely disjoint universes are somehow linked. I mean, they do have androids.
Right.
There is that linkage there. But
and maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I do seem to remember that being a big deal because it was asked to him, and he said that he always believed them to be in the same universe. He always treated them as if they were in the same universe.
It makes me lose credibility, so I'd rather not think about the director. I mean, okay, I'll give it. His ideas don't have to be the same as mine, but we don't need to make those connections either. But again, this is like we don't need a sequel. We don't need to make these connections between these
movies. We're close. I mean, this happened in, according to the movie timeline, this was 2019.
Yeah, four years.
So it's coming. That futuristic city's got to start getting built on top of Chicago and L.A.
We are
leveling
Los Angeles right now. We're going to make this happen.
But would I go see? I would see a sequel or remake. I've enjoyed, and we're going to talk on this pop culture effect. We're going to talk about lots of these types of movies that have been made and remade. There have been so many lately. Seems like that's the only thing Hollywood's good at right now is either sequels or remakes. So we're going to certainly beat those to death. And
I got my beaten stick.
Exactly. And I wouldn't mind seeing this one remade. I wouldn't hate that at all if it were remade with some new director's vision. And I think that would be pretty cool. And if Ridley Scott were to take the approach that it is a handoff movie to like the next generation of filmmakers who want to work in that universe, let's do it. I mean, I think that could be cool. Because there are a lot of possibilities with this. This could easily turn into a trilogy. You have the Replicant Uprising, the Replicant War, and then the Come Down. I'm copywriting all that right now.
I mean,
nobody can go wrong. But
I appreciate your interest in war here. But I we'll talk about this in future episodes, but I don't need to see everything redone. I like it, and I go to see almost everything that, mm-hmm. that gets remade. I didn't see that Conan movie. But I like the idea that we want to do more science fiction, we're going to do more fantasy.
Sure.
And there's an audience for it, and it may or may not be increasing. But I would like to see more unique and inventive and new properties.
And it's cyclical. Hollywood's cyclical. I mean, I think we're just in that dead area right now because technology's caught up and we're kind of looking back at all those films that just don't hold up visually anymore. And let's go ahead and remake those. And that's what we're getting a lot of, I'd say, over the last 6 years. And well, what was the other movie that's being remade? We're going to talk about.
So Neil Blomkamp has mm-hmm. talked about doing an alien movie, and I understand it comes in after Aliens, and I don't know if it supplants Alien 3, Alien 4,
okay,
and so on. So this is something that he just thought, I'd really like to do an alien movie. And he mm-hmm. Did some art for it. And then it wasn't going to happen. And then apparently the deal went through and he's going to do it now.
That's really exciting, though, because, again, the look of his films, and especially with he was District 9, just that raw, lived-in, dirty film.
It's so seamlessly real. I think the art direction right. on Blomkamp's movies is some of my favorite right now. Mm-hmm. Just, that, the District 9... Elysium,
right.
and now Chappie, which I saw this past weekend.
Yeah,
the visual look is just so real. It's so gritty. Your brain doesn't question the reality of it because it just feels so in the same world.
And that is what Alien, all the Alien movies. Well, I saw only the first three. I didn't see the.
Yeah, let's constrain it to something.
Yeah, but at least the first two.
Yes.
They have that feel too. I mean, they were gritty, especially that first one was just such a cool. But that first one was that kind of psychological, almost thriller, stalker thriller movie. Where the second one was
an action movie.
Yeah, your action
full on
sci-fi
James
movie.
Cameron.
Right, and we're going to talk about those at some point as well. But if this is being in the universe, I'm going to assume it doesn't have Ripley in it. Has that been?
Well, Sigourney Weaver has talked about this deal, but and I think she likes the idea, but I don't remember reading whether there was confirmation of her
because she's in her 60s. But I would. But she looks great in her 60s, and you could put her in anything right now, and I'd go see it. She, again, it depends on how it's going to fit into the timeline. If they're going to just ignore everything after Aliens, then...
I don't think they want to ignore it, but they just want to place it after Aliens. I don't know if it's going to re... And I read the article, but I don't...
Because her character blew off on some tangents there with the... You know, waking up a couple spoilers. She, you know, wakes up a couple times, and each movie starts with her waking up, and then she gets cloned, I guess, by Winona Ryder.
No, she gets in four. She gets cloned by scientists so they can create a new queen alien.
Oh, right, because
xenomorph.
Because they found the DNA
like
of her.
With the DNA
right.
Or
yeah. Oh God. What a joke. So.
I mean, I enjoyed those other movies for like, oh, we get another run in the same universe, and it was kind of fun. Right. They weren't great movies, but
until Predator,
you know,
came
I still
along.
Got excited. Please,
but I agree. I'm excited about getting back into this universe. Alien and Alien seems to be on TV a lot lately, and have been stopping and watching. Almost to a fault with my kids in the room not realizing they're there. And, Daddy, what's that? Oh, sorry. Change it as the...
That is happy, jumpy creatures.
As the little things bashing out of the chest, you know. don't look. Nobody looks.
It's cute, right? Wait, sorry.
Look at it.
So the art shows a scene of Ripley and Hicks, who was supposed to die in the beginning of 3.
Right, between
before
2 and 3
started,
yep.
Along with Newt. Mm-hmm. So, people are making all sorts of guesses as to how he could exist, but it could just be art for the sake of, you know, this was the art that Blomkamp put together before
sure.
the project was approved. So, we don't know, and I would hate to speculate.
And if he wants to spin it off and recast the roles, I mean, it's fine. I'm fine with whatever he wants to do because I know it's going to look good and it'll feel right. And it's going to be his take on the universe. And I am happy with filmmakers doing these remakes and reboots in a sense to kind of give us something better. And there's, like I said, we're going to talk about several of these. And I know you said you've seen them. And some of them have done it well and have made a better movie. Some of them have fallen way short. But knowing that he's the one that's going to be doing it, you know, I would see it with anticipation. I think that would be good.
Here's... Just a quick response to Blomkamp. He always has a whole bunch of messages he wants to get across in his movies.
Right.
And it often has to do with like the class layers of society. Because Elysium was like the class separation, and then you had District 9, and you know, what is it? The importance of sentient creatures and. Mm-hmm. Whether they have rights, and you know, and I think these things speak to race, and so.
District 9 was a parallel to what was going on in South Africa, anyway.
Right, and I'm pretty sure that Blomkamp's Alien movie is going to be set in Johannesburg. I think it's almost a certainty. That's a joke.
I was gonna say I'm cool with that if it is.
All his movies.
Yeah, I know they all are.
it's crazy. So,
but.
So I saw Chappie over the weekend,
yep.
And I felt he was trying to almost cram too many messages into one movie and wasn't mm-hmm. really sure which one he was actually trying to get across.
Sure.
So I want to see him maybe focus on the story and maybe have a message that is just under the surface, but... It doesn't have to be quite so in-your-face overt as his other movies. Because I want to go in and enjoy the experience without feeling like I'm trying to be taught something that I probably know already.
Sure.
About humanity and the importance of... You know, like, are the aliens... Like is this like a rights for the xenomorphs thing?
Yeah.
Because clearly they have intelligence and... You know, I don't know what to expect, but I don't want... to go there. I want to see his freaking awesome art design in a world that feels seamlessly, transparently mm-hmm. grounded in the real world, even if it is the future. So I think there's a lot of good stuff that can happen there if he keeps to just the point of an Aliens movie and not straying too far.
Yeah, and I agree. I think there will be probably some message put in there, but I don't know if it'll be as I don't know if it can be as big and obvious as it has been in the other ones, unless he's got some great story that would make that fit. But agreed, I just like the look and feel of his movies, and for him to put something together in that universe, yeah, I'd be all in for that. So that's certainly something we can look forward to. So I think with this episode talking about the Blade Runner, and you know, we got two movies here that appear to be greenlit to be made, that are gonna, you know, get us back into some universes that we certainly enjoyed.
Right. I mean, I look forward to taking a dip back into them. There's been, obviously, we have an Aliens versus Predator movie and stuff like that. So it's not like the Aliens movie hasn't had anything happening recently, but it'll be good to get back to, I think, hopefully the roots.
And solid directors and storytellers taking care of it. It's not like you got just some new guy who made some, you know, campy, you know, The Hills Have Eyes 7, and we're going to give him a chance to make the new Aliens movies. I mean, you know, we get something, some guys who have some pretty good track records here that will be tackling these two movies. So I think we'll get something at least worth seeing. I mean, I like a lot of people with Prometheus. You know, every time I see it, I pick up something new, and that film has gotten mixed reviews, but he loves that Alien universe, and if he wants to have anything to say about it too, if Neil can bring something into it to make it better, awesome.
My buddy Neil.
My buddy.
We're on a first name basis.
First name, because I couldn't think of his last name all of a sudden. No, so definitely that'd be good. So, you got anything else that you want to discuss this week?
Oh, no, I just wanted to, I was going to bring up Chappie, which I think I covered my quick thoughts on that.
So. Good. Well, and you do have a site where you review shows or movies?
I review movies at mynormallife.com. These are not blockbuster amazing reviews. These are reviews that say, was this movie entertaining or not? Was it hitting the mission of the movie or not? And mostly for my friends, but it'd be awesome if other people could get something out of it.
Absolutely. So mynormallife.com, check that That's out. Great. You could also check us out on other podcast-tribia stuff. You could look us up on Facebook for information there. We have a couple other shows. If you all watch The Blacklist on NBC, you can check out our podcast there. Or Dave and I do a weekly show where we just BS about nothing. And that's a good time. Lots of talking about beer and women and stuff that you might enjoy. So check us out on that show as well. You can email us at on this show at pop@podcastderbia.com. You can check us out on, like I said, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes reviews, whatever you got. Podcastderbia, find us there. So for this week, I'm Brian. He's Sam.
And I'm Sam.
We'll see you again.